Hey, listen, while you're giving, would you welcome two very special guests I have, two of the captains of the football team at Ripon Christian Knights. Let's give it up for these gentlemen as they come out to help us today. Come on now. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We are, come on, let's go, all right. Come on, baby. It's Super Bowl Sunday. If you came here and you don't know what the Super Bowl is all about, you don't know what football is all about, take just a moment while you're giving your offering and watch the screen.
Welcome to Kids News Break. My name is Willem, and it's time to talk about Super Bowl. What is Super Bowl, you ask? It is the championship game for the National Football League, or the NFL. That is American football, not soccer. Every year, 32 teams battle it out to reach the Super Bowl, one of the most televised sporting events in the world. The date of the big game is the first Sunday each February. This year is February 4th at 6:30 at the U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The first Super Bowl game was played on January 15th, 1967 in Los Angeles, California. The Super Bowl is a big deal for a lot of reasons. The audience has grown from 73 million in 1990 to 111 million in 2017. That's just in the United States. Worldwide is like 1 billion people in 200 countries. The Super Bowl commercials, some people think, are more exciting than the actual game. To buy commercial time, a company will have to spend $5 million for 30 seconds. Some companies make their Super Bowl commercials their biggest ads of the year. Movie companies often show trailers for their summer blockbusters. While I'm warming up my throwing arm, here's Nelly with the weather.
There's no time for weather! The game is on!
Thank you, Nelly. Another reason a lot of people tune in is for the annual halftime show. Every year, a very popular entertainer performs a huge show halfway in the game. This year, Justin Timberlake is headlining the show. Guest performers pop out in the show to really spice things up. Last year, Lady Gaga started her show by being lowered from the roof of the stadium. Before the big game this year, Pink is going to be singing the national anthem.
The playoffs are happening now, which help decide what teams are going to play at the Super Bowl. It's down to four teams, the Jaguars and the Patriots, who play Sunday, January 21st at 3. And the Vikings and Eagles play at 6:40. The winners of these two games go to the Super Bowl on February 4th, 2018. To buy a ticket for this year's Super Bowl starts around $4,000. That's right, $4,000. That's a big piggy bank.
Who do you think will win the big game? Let me know in the comments down below. To watch this video in French, click here. To learn something,
all right, you know, we just want to show you that video, give you a chance to kind of see what it's all about. My favorite part of that video when I watched it was the girl coming in to do the weather, the sister, Nelly, and she's like, can't do it. And he's like, bam, and he hits her with the ball. I think that's hilarious. Listen, football as we know it is an American sport. It is a sport that originated in the United States in the 1860s, and the NFL actually didn't start until 60 years later in the 1920s. So the NFL has grown by leaps and bounds, and it's now become a national, an international, and a cultural phenomenon. What I want to do today is use the excitement and the enthusiasm of Super Bowl Sunday. I don't want to be one of those pastors that fights it and guilts people into saying, is Jesus not more important than the Super Bowl? Because the Super Bowl is a part of our culture. What we want to do is we want to use the enthusiasm of the day, the excitement that Super Bowl Sunday exudes in a lot of people. Now, maybe not in you, but in the world that is around you. And I wanted to use this message to illustrate what it's like to be a Christ follower, a follower of Jesus Christ. So please, continue eating, continue drinking. You feel free to get up and go get more during this. Think of it as we're in a party, kind of a celebration together, and I'm sharing a couple of things. While we do this, I want to use these guys. Man, these guys are tough. These guys are strong. These guys are powerful. They've been training. These guys are captains of the team, right? That's football is an American icon, and we're going to be excited. First of all, if you're going to be a team, the team has to have an owner. Everybody say owner. The team has to have, Jerry, come on up. The team has to have, oh, there we go. Right on. Good. That is the 49ers. So here we go. I'm just being serious. So the team has to have an owner. And everything that happens on the team can be trumped by the decision that the owner decides to make. The owner can change things on a dime whenever he or she wants to. It may not seem to be fair, but that's because the owner owns the team. It's his or her responsibility to do with it. He can fire the coaches. He can trade players. He can change locations. He can raise ticket prices if that's what needs to take place for the team. And much more. Why? Because he's the owner. And as a Christ follower, the owner of us, the owner of the team, the owner of it all is God. Someone say amen. God owns it all. Today, I mean, I've got so many scriptures, I would take about 10 minutes to flip back and forth, so I'm going to put it on the screen. But what I want you to do is jot them down. Then you can go back and take a look at them in context and see if what I'm telling you to be the truth. Don't always take my word for it. You need to read the word of God and study to show yourself approved. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 14, God is speaking to Moses. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God is saying, I am who I am. I am the great I am. Troy's translation, I think what God is saying is, hear me loud and clear. I am the owner of it all. That's what God is saying to us. So on the team, if we're going to have a team, we have to have an owner. In addition to that, if you're going to play football, you guys play football, and if you didn't have a coach, if you didn't have someone to show you, to tell you, to direct you in the way you're supposed to go as a football player, you wouldn't win the game. So the team, the football team has to have coaches. These coaches are charged, they're leaders charged with carrying out the will of the owner. Let me say that again. Coaches are leaders that are charged with carrying out the will of the owner. Namely, the will of the owner is kind of synonymous for each team. The will of the owner in the NFL, the will of the owner in college, the will of the owner in high school, the will of the director, the athletic director, if you will, in the high school, the will of the is to win the championship game. And you can't win the championship game, the Super Bowl in the NFL, if you don't get to the championship game. So you got to work really, really hard. Then the will of the owner is to become a national champion. As Christ followers, as followers of Jesus Christ, sold out to the King of Kings, these would be the pastors and other spiritual leaders appointed by God to carry out his will in the world. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, help us with this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So we have owner and we have coaches, but you can't have football if you don't have the players. You got it. Why did it get so silent in here? That wasn't like a solemn moment. You can't have football if you don't have players. These are the athletes that have trained for years. Why don't you guys give each other a chest bump or hit each other or something? We got to do something. Come on, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Just slam, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not messing around here with football players. Start off in Pop Warner. Might go on to junior high play. Go on to high school play. 1 out of 16,000 high school seniors will actually get a partial scholarship to college playing football. 1 in 16,000. It's a hard work to get a college scholarship to play football. And it more than triples that from college to the NFL. So you're talking about over 1 in 40,000 will possibly get a contract offer to the NFL once you've made it to college. It's all based upon their talent. These guys are captains of the team, leaders. They're pumped. They're studs. That's what they are. They're just animals. But they love Jesus. They're going to Christian school, so they hit people for Jesus. Isn't that a great thing? Yes. Right on. As a Christ follower, listen to me. Some of y'all are still playing Pop Warner. Some of y'all are still playing Pop Warner football. I mean, you're old. You're much older than that. I mean, you shouldn't be playing Pop Warner anymore. You shouldn't be playing high school anymore. You shouldn't be playing college anymore. By now, you should have matured enough to be in the pros. And here's the deal. How do you get in the pros? It's not by length and duration of time. It's by maturity. The way that we measure, it's not skills. It's not talent like these guys have to be athletes. What it is with Christ, in order to make the pros, in order to be promoted so God can use you more, so you can bloom where you're planted more, God is looking for commitment to obedience and trust in Jesus Christ. Commitment to obedience toward Jesus and trust in Jesus no matter what's coming your direction. Your life is not measured by the happenings around you. Your life is measured by the faith you have in Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 21 is a good reference. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." If we're committed to being obedient to Jesus and trusting in Jesus, even in the difficult times, we're going to experience great promotion in the kingdom of God. Not for us, but greater influence so that we can see the world change around us. But players also, they're not about individual stardom. Listen, fellas, you guys have 22 players that are actively playing offense, defense, plus you have additional players on the team. If it was about one person, your team would burn. It's got to be about the team. That's why you see the huddle. That's why you see the jumping and I love football. It's why you see that. It's why you feel. It's a team experience. You're never going to hear one team player being interviewed who doesn't give credit to his team, who doesn't think of himself or herself, I suppose, as a team. You've got to be united as a team. They've got to be fully committed to what? To the direction of the coach who is directly influenced by the owner of the team. If not, there's going to be infighting on the team. There's going to be disunity on the team. And as a Christ follower, we must be in unity with one another. Someone say amen. Take a look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says in verse number 25. There should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Roy, when you got baptized today, you weren't alone in that tank. Man, your family, the family of God, were rejoicing with you for this public declaration of the faith that God has given to you and the victory that he's given you over all the crud in your life. Someone say amen, yes? That's unity in the... Come on, now you can clap. It's a good thing. That's unity in the body. We got to be fully committed to obedience and trust in Jesus Christ, and there better be no disunity on the team in the family of God. We've got to make sure that the players are doing what the players are supposed to be doing. Now, you can have the owner, you can have the coaches, you can have the players, but you're not going to play football if you don't have a field. We also call the field in football the gridiron, right? And the football field is about 120 yards long. It's 100 yards long with 10 yards either way in the end zones in where you make the touchdowns. It's 53 and a third yards wide. The football field is made up of hash marks and yard lines and end zones and goalposts. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Let's take a look at this. "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The football game is played on the football field. The football game is played on the gridiron. Now you practice, you work really hard, but that's where the game, you leave it all on the field. You leave it all out there. What is your gridiron? What is your field as a follower of Jesus Christ? Your field as a follower of Jesus Christ is your home. Your home is your primary field. Your home is your gridiron. Your home is your place. It's game time, baby. It's not, listen to me, men. It's not time to just default to whatever rest you want to be in when you enter home. When you're at home, you be the man of God. You lead your family. You're the priest of your home. You make sure you raise the bar. You're the lid on spiritual maturity in your home. Lift the lid. Raise the lid. Do something powerful. Trust in the Lord. Be obedient to him. Your family comes first. Your God comes first. Your family of everybody else comes first. First, your spouse, then your children, extended family. Another field you might have would be your community. The Central Valley for us is our field. We're playing right here. We're focused on this field. We're going to win people, encourage people, see people strengthened in their faith. We're going to see marriages restored and children, wayward children, come back home again. We're going to see incredible things happen. The miracles take place because this is our field, and we're going to leave it all out on the field. Another field we play on is the nation. Man, I care about the United States of America. This is the greatest nation that ever was and ever will be. We love our country. We're so grateful. We're patriotic. We believe. I didn't say patriots. I said patriotic. We believe that God has put us here for this time and this season. And so a field that we play on is we care about what happens. We want to leave this nation better for our children and our grandchildren than it was when we got it. Can someone say amen? Another, we certainly can't omit the world. The world is our field. Listen, this is what this scripture says. Listen, you be witnesses in Jerusalem. That's going to be your home. That's going to be right here, Lathrop or Manteca, in your home, your literal home that you live in, your schools, Judea, the surrounding area, which would be like the Central Valley or maybe even the state. Moving on, Samaria would be like the United States. And then to the ends of the earth would be the entire world. Your gridiron is everywhere. And what this scripture is saying, guys, it's saying it's all at once. It's not one at a time. It's not one at a time. It's not win your family, take care of your family, take care of me and mine and ours. And when that's done, because that will never be done this side of glory, then I move on. But instead, you've got to focus, a constant focus on all four of these areas. That's your gridiron. That's your field. You can't play the game if you don't help. You got to know how long the game is. It helps to know how long the game is because you're taking a beating out there. You're giving people a beating out there. You got to know how long the game is, right? How long is the game? 60 minutes. How long is the game on TV? My kids would say forever, right? Lasts about 3 hours on television. It's got made up of four 15-minute quarters. It can last longer if the game is tied, and that's when you just find that fourth quarter just juice. Right? Because it's going into overtime. And the next score is going to win. A typical NFL game on television lasts about 3 hours due to stoppages, due to timeouts, due to halftime, due to injury timeouts. Listen, as a Christ follower, the duration of your game is limited to the amount of time that God gives you. Bible tells us in James chapter 4, verse number 14, why you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while, then it vanishes. You're a puff of smoke here today and gone tomorrow. You don't know how long that mist is. For some people, that mist is shorter than others. But we're all given a mist. We're all given that puff of smoke. And what we do with that puff of smoke, with that duration of the life that we have, man, that's our job to invest the most precious commodity that we have. The most precious commodity you have is not your money. The most precious commodity you have is your time. The way you invest that time, that mist that God gives to you, that duration of your life, that's what matters most. Now, let me just review. We've got the owner, we've got the coach, we've got the players, we've got the field or the gridiron, the place that we play, the place where we reside and work and live. We've got the duration of the game. Let's move on. Stand up for me, fellas. You don't play football, not you, just these guys. Yes, I appreciate that. You don't play football without the proper equipment. What I want you to do is come over here. Come on, back up just a little bit. Get down your three-point stance. You get down your three-point stance. All right, here we go. I want you to see who pushes who back. Ready, sit. Go. Okay, you can stop. Right on, right. These guys are going to go till someone bleeds. That's what I'm talking about. Teeth flying and bones breaking. Tables tipping. And next gathering. Save some for next gathering. We're just going to go crazy. You got to play. You can sit down, guys. Honey, you're getting all mad at each other now. You love each other, but you're all mad. I get it. Football. You got to have the right equipment. You got to have a football to play football. You don't play with 10 footballs. You don't play with 2 footballs. It's double-minded. You play with 1 football. You got to have pads on. You got to make sure you're protected. You got to put on your armor. You got to have comms, communication devices. I mean, it used to be a big, big deal when I was young. You know, it was like a big, high-tech, expensive thing. Now, comms, they use them in high school football. Comms, earpiece. The coach has to be able to communicate to the quarterback. The quarterback's the leader of the team, has to be able to tell the players. We got to be able to change the plays in just a second's notice based upon how the defense, the enemy, is lined up. You got to be able to see what's happening in the game, on the field, in your life. And so you got to have the right equipment to be able to do. We don't throw me that ball. Would you throw me that ball? You better be a good throw because you're a football player. There you go. Right on. Good. So we don't play with a football. The ball that we're carrying down the field, that's the message. It's the message that Jesus saves. It's the message that Jesus rescues. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Listen, that whoever believes isn't going to die, isn't going to perish, but they're going to have eternal life, going to have everlasting life. The message is what we're carrying down the field, and it is imminent that we get the ball down the field. Our mission in our life is to get the ball down the field, is to carry the message of the gospel, is to make sure that our children and our children's children are saved, set free from sin, and find themselves in heaven for all of eternity. The mission is critical. We got to carry the ball down the field. We don't wear pads. We wear armor. And the armor that God has given to us, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11, put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the devil's schemes. The enemy, the defense, that's the opposition. That's the demonic forces, the evil set up and established in high places for us. It's not people. It's the devil and his evil minions. And they're real. And they're fighting against us. And if you could see in the unseen world, you would definitely fight and hold on to the ball. Hold on to the message. Penetrate through. Listen, not one single piece of the armor mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 covers your back. It all covers your front. You're intended to penetrate forward and not run away from. Your job is to push through. The communication pieces we got, we don't need the communication pieces like football, but the communication piece I'm comparing to is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 19. Don't quench the spirit. Listen to me. The communication piece that you have is a direct hotline with the Holy Spirit himself. God has given to us a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The comforter and the counselor, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit is made available to you and to me, and that's our comms. He's the one who counsels me to go to the left, or counsels me to go to the right. He's the one that can see it all at once, and I only see one step at a time. So the comms are extremely important. If you're going to play the game, you got to know how to keep score. You got to know what, listen, a touchdown in football is how many points? Six. That's good. Six. You're just jumping ahead to the point after touchdown. The point after is how much? One. Now, if you do a two-point conversion, how many points is that, geniuses? Good. All right. Right on. Sorry, guys. How many points a field goal? 3 points for a field goal. And what if you get a safety? How many points is safety? Two. That's how you score. That's how you score in football. In order to score, you got, let's just do it. Put the ball down. You just got to hit each other again. Come on over here. You didn't. You got it. It's Sunday. In order to score, you got to advance the ball down the field. Hut. Yeah, you got to advance. You got to push. You got to dig. Stop. There you go. Right on. Good. Now, your ultimate goal, listen, is to score a touchdown. Your ultimate goal is to score a touchdown. And listen to me. As a Christ follower, you score by advancing the good news, by advancing the ball, by advancing the message that Jesus saves, that Jesus is real. We're not talking about a four-year-old mentality. Yes, Jesus loves me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about he saves your life. When you're in the deepest, darkest moments of your life and your existence, Jesus Christ is right there waiting for you to reach out and just take a hold of him. He will see you through the most horrific storms, and he'll bring you through victoriously. As a Christ follower, you gotta penetrate through. And the way you do that is through obedience. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 22 tells us to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion, what is rebellion? It's the opposite of obedience. Rebellion, the opposite of obedience, is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. What does that mean? If you don't obey God and you act in rebellion to God, you might as well just sit down and play with the Ouija board because you're practicing witchcraft. It's not just obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is the option. Obeying God at all costs. To obey, man, is better than sacrifice. Now, here's the deal. You play the game. You play the game because you're hoping to get better than a 50% record. Is that right, Drake? Are you playing to get just better than 50%? What are you playing for? You're playing to 100%, baby. You're playing to win. Hit each other. That's right, baby. That's right. You're playing to win. Yeah, I love this. This is awesome. Next time I'm getting Brian in one of these with both of you guys against him. It's boom. You're playing to win. What you got to do is you got to get more points than the other team. You rarely win. Listen to me. You rarely win every game. Now, these guys went last year 9-1. Is that right? Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Just dominating the entire West Coast. Just, they took them all on, as many teams as they played. You got to win the critical games. You want to win every game, but you got to win the critical games. You got to win the division before you're going to be able to go on to the playoffs, right? Right on, yes. If you want a chance to play in the Super Bowl, you got to win some games. There are 32 teams in the NFL. Each team plays 16 regular season games. Playoffs, there are four wild card games in the playoffs. There are four divisional games. There are two championship games, and there's one Super Bowl. That's a total of 522 games plus the Super Bowl in 1 year. That's a lot of football. Some of y'all doing the math, double checking me. I used my phone twice, so I know I'm doing it right. In those games, I discovered this. Each team runs an average of 70 plays per game. 70 plays times 522 games is 36,540 plays, and every one of those plays matters. Every one of those plays matters, plus the Super Bowl. It takes discipline. It takes obedience to get to the Super Bowl. It takes unity to get to the Super Bowl. Listen, as a follower of Jesus Christ, your obedience helps you win the game. Remember, winning in the Christian life, I wrote this down, I'm going to have to read it to you. Winning in the Christian life at its basic core involves executing your role, executing your position, executing your calling with skill, tenacity, and grit, knowing that it is not your strength, but it is Christ in you that gives you the strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 14 says, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles." Jesus is with us. He's sharing in everything that you've got. Listen, they're all kind of players. Would you pick up the football for me? What position do you play? You got one right behind you. What was it? Lineman. Offensive line? Both. Offensive line, what position? That's what I played, man, too. Outside tackle, left tackle. Boom, baby. Thank you. I'm really grateful that you're here. What position you play, Drake? Safety and running back. You're taking it. Listen to me. In the game of football, whether you understand it or not, there are different positions. The quarterback is the leader. The quarterback is the one for the offense that is inspiring, setting the pace of the play, setting the pace of the game. He has to know the will of the coach, and he has to be able to change the play in seconds' notice. He's got to know the capabilities and the limitations of the offense, of his team, and he's got to know the legitimate threats of the enemy. Some of you are playing the quarterback right now. You're the quarterback in your family. You know what your family is capable of. And you see the opposition coming against you. You got to set the pace. You got to lead. You got to change the plays if you need to. You got to listen to your coaches, and you got to do the will of the owner for your family. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe you're leading in your church, and maybe you're leading in your job or leading in the community. Listen, but we don't always lead in life, do we? No, we don't. There's positions like the O-line, the offensive line. The offensive line are those big guys that are standing in front of the quarterback, try to protect the quarterback. Listen, the offensive line is charged with one thing, and that one thing is protect the quarterback at all costs. You fight, you hit, you strike, you drive. When they fall down, you keep driving on top of them. You keep driving on top of them. You're not letting that little turkey get up because Your job, you're charged with protecting the quarterback. Listen, we are pulling down strongholds when you play the O-line for the kingdom of God. This is a prayer warrior. This is someone, listen, nobody ever says, my, look at that great offensive line. Unless you're a professional, a commentator, someone who really respects it, you don't get all the glory. Who gets all the glory? You get all the glory. Right. And that's okay because we're a team. Because if you get the glory, you're going to give it back to the entire team. You know what I'm talking about? Listen, without the offensive line, victory is impossible. Some of y'all are prayer warriors. And for this to take place, for this to happen, for that to happen back there with your children and your grandchildren, thank you. You're part of the team, doing your job, playing your role. There's also wide receivers. Receivers go out for, listen, the thing about receivers that I think is amazing is they run the route that has been assigned to them. And here's the deal. If you're really good, you expect that the ball is going to be put right here before you even look over your shoulder. The ball, most of the time, has already been thrown before you look back. Your job is to anticipate that the play is going to be executed when everybody's going to do their job. The O-line's going to keep the defense from penetrating. Maybe the running back's going to go out and try to fake everybody out, make them look that way. The quarterback's going to make sure that his arm is spot on, and he throws it with the great trajectory, the great angle, the right speed, the right rotation, and it falls exactly where it should fall, right in your hands, because you ran the route you said you were going to run, because you ran the route that the coach told you to run. And if you were following in obedience, you're gonna score a touchdown. There's running backs. Running backs are some of my favorite. I don't know. I like rookie running backs for the Kansas City Chiefs. I really appreciate Kareem Hunt. So if you're a running back, there are linebackers on the defense. And the linebacker's job is to take you out. You've been handed the ball. Your O-line's trying to give you a little bit of space to be able to slip through. But you know as soon as you slip through, there's a linebacker waiting to just pummel you. And there are demonic realms that are waiting to take you down. They've been assigned against you. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the plan of the enemy. Threefold mission. He's coming against you. Some of you knew that when you started coming to church this morning. And listen, your job is to hold onto that ball. And doesn't matter what linebacker jumps on your back. It doesn't matter what linebacker grabs. It doesn't matter what defensive lineman grabs onto your ankle. It doesn't matter who's pulling on you. You're going to hold that ball and you're going to keep on going forward because your job is to move the ball forward. Your job is to not stop. Your job is to penetrate. You get an extra yard if you can. You go as hard as you can because that is your job. Amen. On the team, there's the owner. There are the coaches. There are the players. You got to plan a field. There's the duration of play. You got to wear the proper equipment. There's got to be a way to score to keep track. And there, you got to know whether you're going to win or whether you're going to lose. But let's not forget that the defense, the enemy, cheats. Many cheats. So God has given to us officials for the game. There are officials for the game, and there are seven of them. Seven of them. All of them on the football field in the NFL wear black hats except for one, and that one wears the white hat. The one who wears the white hat is the referee. There's the referee, the umpire, the back judge, the head linesman, the side judge, the line judge, and the field judge. And then there's also a team that I used to be on the referee, a team called the Chain Gang. The chain gang is the one who runs the chains for the team. The measures how far the football has gone forward. And the there's off-campus referees that are watching in the NFL from New York City. They're watching with all these HD cameras, a super slow motion capability to be able to watch. And so they're watching over all of the plays in the games. As a Christ follower, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we can be assured that the owner has given us protectors as well, to prevent the enemy from cheating too much. Psalm 91:11, one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. Does that mean that nothing bad's going to happen to you? Absolutely not. Because the enemy is, listen, this is still his domain. He's the prince and power of the air, the atmosphere, because this is not our home. And so John chapter 16, verse number 33 reminds us that here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, Jesus tells us. But does that mean that, listen, There is a line that God will not allow the enemy to cross. Isaiah 59, verse number 19. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Someone say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There are, listen. There's got to be, there's angelic beings. As much as we try not to talk too much about the enemy because we don't want to give him glory, but there's a real adversary that is out there. But there's way more angelic beings. Power that God gives to us, the ability to see beyond the declawed, defanged, roaring lion that is out there. Listen, unfortunately, there are times that you actually have to play defense, though, in this game of life. Sometimes you lose the ball. Sometimes you lose the mission. You're a place in your life where the enemy has his ball, and he's trying to penetrate his ball down the field, and you got to stop the enemy. Your job is to just terminate the adversary. What mission, what ball is he carrying down? He is the father of lies. And he is lying to you and he is lying to me. He's lying to you about your eternal destiny. He's lying to you about the success of your family. He's lying to you about the talents and skills that God has given to you. He's lying to you about God. And your job is to take him down. When you're on the defense and you're looking at the O-line and there's a big, no, you're not on the devil's offense, don't misunderstand, but you're looking at the offensive line and they look mean and they look scary and they look stronger and they look intimidating. That's all they do is they look. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. Satan is the father of lies. He's prowling around looking like a roaring lion, but he's not. You got to penetrate the line of scrimmage and you got to attack. We are called to torment the enemy, not to allow the enemy to torment us. Someone say amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Now listen, I could stop there and I kind of need two times getting away from us, but there's one more. There's one more part to the game that I want you to understand. The final part to the game is the crowd. You heard on the video at the very beginning of this message that there's approximately 1 billion people worldwide watching this game at 3:30 this afternoon on television, on the internet, and some will be there in person. 1 out of every 7 people on the entire planet will be watching this game today. Watching 22 men give it their all on the field at one time. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 reminds us, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Listen, we today are being cheered on, not by a billion, but multiplied billions. We're being cheered on. I can just see on the balcony of heaven them peering over going, you get them, Troy, you get them, Troy. Give it your all. Don't stop. Keep going. You've got more heart than that. And they're doing the same for you. This crowd of witnesses that have already experienced glory. They're on the other side of this thing called life that sometimes hurts so bad. They're on the other side and they're saying, you can do it. Be strong. Stand still and see the salvation of your God. This great crowd of witnesses is an integral part of the game of life. Because when you know, I would dare say that kid on that video would never have made it if it wasn't for someone cheering them on. There are people cheering us on. That, my friends, is why I think it's so important that we recognize the mandate that God gave to us in the Old Testament and in the New Testament to be party people, to be people who celebrate the goodness of God. That is why we're party people for the kingdom of God. Someone say amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Can you do that? I got to give a shout out to these two guys. Come on, give it up for our football stars. Hey, hit each other. Come on, do it again. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. We're not messing around. Right on. We're going to do a lot more in the second gathering. Blood and splatters all over the carpet. I also want to give a shout out to Carlos and Veronica running our popcorn station. We so appreciate them. To the Poland clan for doing the hot dogs and the brats for us. We appreciate them. I appreciate Bonnie. I appreciate David and Kyler setting up all the drinks and doing all the shopping and all that kind of stuff. We're just so grateful for everybody's help. Anthony is just awesome setting this thing up, getting out of the warehouse, bringing it back in all these times we need. We just keep on doing it. So thank you, Anthony Anadon. We appreciate his help so much. Takes a lot of work, but you guys are worth it. And I want you to go home inspired today. I want you to think, remember, when you see the game, it's just a game, but this is not a game. This is real. God, thank you for our time together. Thank you, Lord, for so many people that have sown into this gathering today. Thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate, that we can have a party, that we can enjoy each other's company and connection and fellowship. But God, more than that, remind us, and this is the huddle. There is work to do because we're going back out on the field when we leave this place. There are family members that need to know, they need to see Jesus with skin on. They need to see us be Jesus in their lives. So Lord, I pray as families gather together today, as friends gather, we're going to be with people rubbing elbows. Help us not to be a part of, help us to be a light that shines. Help us, God, to just be proud of who we are, to be proud to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Not, we don't have to be weird, but we certainly can be proud to be a part of this great thing called the family of God. And God, help us to really have a desire to see more people become part of the family as well. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you'd go before us, surround us, empower us, equip us, and remind us that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We pray these things in the awesome, anointed, powerful name of Jesus Christ. And if you agree, say amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand clap one more time. Can you do that? Praise God. God, you are so good. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he give you rest, and may he give you peace.